Hey, good morning, Pastor Craig, and I hope you've had a really good week. I know this week has been just absolutely gorgeous, at least here, from the standpoint of weather, and it's actually cooled off a little bit, and of course we're going to get hot weather, but this is the Midwest, this is what we deal with here, and I just want to encourage you just to keep going after God. I mean, this last week we had a tremendous service outdoors, so I want to encourage you to come to the gatherings. And it just seems like the Holy Spirit highlights a couple things maybe a little bit differently than he even does on the online stuff. But hey, we're going to get at it today. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Open our hearts, God, to the truth of your word. I pray that you speak to us. And Lord, again, not my words, but your words. Let those be the words that take root in hearts and lives. In Jesus' name, amen. So last week, we started to talk about Elijah the prophet. And we really look at his life in the book of 1 Kings. You start to see him in there, 16, 17, and 18. And then again, in 2 Kings 1 and 2, he's mentioned quite a bit there. Just powerful, powerful man of God. But the thing that we need to remember about Elijah is that he was a man just like you, just like me. He was a human being. He was not superhuman. He was not an Avenger, was he? His name meant Yahweh is my God. And, you know, I know maybe all of us don't have that kind of a name, but he definitely lived up to it. But he had frustrations, and he had fears, and he had doubts, and he had he dealt with loneliness and all kinds of different things if you read about his life. But he didn't stand on those things. He stood in the confidence and the strength that God gave him for each and every day. So I want to encourage you in that. Just know that, you know, when you look at a guy like Elijah, you can identify with him. You know, really any of the characters in the Bible. They're not superhuman, but they served a super God. And that's pretty awesome, if you ask me. The culture at this time that we're looking at, it was very evil, okay? By and large, the people had turned away from God. And it really had to do with a lineage of evil kings. And the king at this time was Ahab, as we know. Now, Ahab was, as we described, he was evil personified. He was married to a wonderful wife, Jezebel. You know, I'd encourage you not to go seek a wife like her. But she brought in Baal worship. She compromised so many things. She actually hated the house of Israel. And she brought in Asherah worship, all of that. And it just compromised the culture. So the other thing she did was there was persecution and murder of the prophets. And the prophets were the voice of the Lord during that day and hour. And unfortunately, many of them tucked tail and they hid away in a cave at the spurning of Obadiah. But, you know, whether they were preserved there for a reason or whether they just kind of weren't on the field when the land needed their voice, God used it for his glory. People had abandoned the Lord's commands, but God is a God of justice, right? And because he's a God of justice, he judges sin, and his heart is always to bring people back to him. And I am so thankful in my own life just for the goodness of God to bring me back to him and in my own life. So what we learned was, number one, that God will always raise up a voice for the purpose of reviving his mission. I didn't really touch on this too much, but I want to touch on that word reviving his mission. In years gone by, we always heard about revival, okay? And I probably cut my teeth in an atmosphere, Christian-wise, when it comes to that in revival. And when I say that, I'm talking about when I really got serious about my relationship with Jesus. I wasn't playing games. It was real. And it was kind of in the 90s when that term was being used a lot. But what I want to say is what revival truly is, and the goal of the reviving of hearts is turning the hearts of people back to God, turning our hearts back again. And Elijah cried that out as he prayed for the nation. And what revival is not, and I just want to emphasize this, it's not a series of tent meetings, okay? It's not just a series of meetings or prolonged meetings or whatever. That's not revival. It's not just goosebumps, okay? It's not people merely falling out on the power of the Spirit or all kinds of things that can happen, you know, during revival, you know, when there's a move of God on a body. But that is not revival. It's not just an emotional experience that lasts a short period of time. And I really want to emphasize, you know, God made us with emotions. And we, you know, there's a lot of preachers out there that really shame people for experiencing God with their emotions, but God created us that way, so we should experience God with our emotions. But the reality is we can't just rest upon that. It's got to go far deeper than that. So again, it's not just goosebumps, but revival, what it is it's life-changing. It's culture-changing, okay? And because true revival is when I, as a man, or when you, as a man or a woman, when we surrender our agenda for God's agenda. And the Holy Spirit put it to me this way, and I just love how he speaks. And this is, it was just simple. Here's what revival is in a nutshell. It's just three words. Revival is surrender. Revival is surrender. Okay, and it's a lifelong surrender. It's not just a flash in the pan. It's something that happens. So remember that, okay? The second thing we learned is that God will always bring direction. He will always bring the resources that are needed for his missions. We know that he brought a clear word to Elijah, and he gave him the next stop. Next step in the journey. He didn't give him a spotlight like we all want. We want to be able to look into the crystal ball and look 20, 30 years out and make all kinds of plans, but you know, it just doesn't happen that way, does it? In fact, the resources that he needed, God supplied his needs when he was at the brook there, and he was fed by that old dirty bird, the raven, okay? And don't tell me God doesn't have a sense of humor. Sometimes we think he doesn't, but he really does. But he was fed by ravens, meat and bread, and then water, of course, was brought to him as well, which is absolutely just incredible to me. God provided supernaturally. So the third thing we saw, and this is where we probably spent more time in the actual message on Sunday morning, and that was that the brook will dry up and seasons do change. It's important to remember this because it requires you and I to be flexible. You know, Elijah could have got very comfortable just hanging out by that brook for 3 years and may not have wanted to go. And unfortunately, many, even in the churches today, many Christians, we refuse to change. But change is constant. It's something that you're going to have to get used to in this life if you ever want to be effective with God, because God will use different methods. He will use different to reach the culture and whatnot. And we have to remain flexible in that. Eventually, what happens when people do say no and they refuse to change is it's really like in Hebrews where it talks about we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed. When you say no to God, it will eventually, it's like you're camping out at that brook. Well, the brook is dried up and there's no more food, there's no more provision, and you're just kind of living on yesteryear. And what happens is that brook dries up and you will eventually just starve yourself to death and you'll die spiritually. None of us want that. And I want to encourage you to make sure that you don't camp out of the brook when God said for you to leave the brook and go the next step of your journey. Remember, our obedience in listening to the Lord is so important. Obedience is greater than sacrifice, is what the scriptures said. And, you know, yes, fire falls on sacrifice, and I know all that. But the reality is that we do need to obey God when he says to obey. And the last thing that we looked at was that God encourages and he strengthens us for his mission, not our mission. We look at the widow of Zarephath and how when Elijah stopped there, man, he provided supernaturally. There was food every day, not just for Elijah, but for the widow and her son. And even when the son had a major health issue, Elijah cried out to God, and God raised this young boy from the dead, one of the first recorded miracles that we see for Elijah. And it's just an amazing thing. But, you know, one of the questions that came to me, and this is kind of where I just want to focus a little bit this week. what was it about Elijah that made him available for use to the Lord? What was it? Did he just have these supernatural skill sets, or did he have all this stuff refined in his life? And when I prayed about this, and when you could see this, what it really was this. Elijah lived a surrendered life, okay? Elijah lived a surrendered life. Elijah had a destiny, and he didn't have it all revealed to him on day one, did he? We see how he came in chapter 17, and you know, he just kind of comes on the scene, but we know that he had some upbringing. We know that he was named to be set apart and given to the Lord, and he was a prophet of the Most High God, and God spoke to him, and when God spoke, he did recognize it, and he moved. When God spoke, he was obedient to that. But his destiny was this. His destiny really was to live a surrendered life wherever he went, whether it was confronting Ahab, whether it was at the brook, whether it was with the widow of Zarephath, whether it was when he really combated the forces of evil on Mount Carmel. Now, I want to talk about that a little bit, because one of the things that he was called to be, he was called to be God's voice, and you and I are called to be God's voice. Now, think about this, okay? After the widow of Zarephath, after all the provision supernaturally, now God was telling him to go and present himself before Ahab. In 18:1, the Lord knew the timing. The Lord knew that he had the right servant. He had the person that was right for the job. So here's Elijah now, and his heart is prepared. He's ready. He's still a man, though, but he's relying on the strength and the word of the Lord that God had given him. So God calls him before him, and he presents himself to Ahab. Now, there was a challenge that was basically issued, because Elijah, the word from the Lord that Elijah gave, that is that there had to be a challenge. He had to confront the culture. He had to confront the prophets of Baal, the falseness of the prophets of Baal. So there was 450 prophets of Baal, and there was 400 prophets of Asherah, those who served at Jezebel's table. And all of those were summoned together along with the people of God. And in 1 Kings 18:21, Elijah says this. He says, "How long will you falter between two opinions?" Okay? And this is really a call for us as Christians. How long are we going to falter between two opinions? Are we going to believe the Lord, or are we going to believe the culture? And that's really what he did. If the Lord is God, he said, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him, okay? Because he knew his confidence was in God, and he knew that God would come through for him. So there was a sacrifice prepared, and you can read about this in chapter 18, all throughout chapter 18. There was two bulls, one for the prophets of Baal, one for Elijah. They were prepared. They were the way they needed to. They were put on the altar. There was wood, but there was no fire, because the decree that was issued and the challenge that was issued is that the true God would supply the fire. So what ended up happening is the prophets of Baal, okay, they began to just go bananas, all right? They started calling out to their god Baal, and all day until noon. And Elijah began to mock them almost, okay? They came to a place where they actually got to the place where it was so bad for them. Excuse me, I'm just readjusting my papers, okay. But it got so bad for them, they actually started cutting themselves. This was a cult practice. And they lanced themselves so that blood would flow. And they called out and they cried out till the evening sacrifice came. And then Elijah stepped in. Now, the first thing Elijah did is he gathered the people together, and he basically was saying, look, they have exhausted all of their means. They have exhausted. They've cried out all day long. Now, I'm going to show you what the true God does. And it wasn't Elijah doing this. This was the word of the Lord that was working in Elijah and through Elijah. So he repaired the altar of the Lord. He placed the 12 stones on the altar, okay? When he did this, he arranged the wood, he cut the bull up and arranged the pieces. Then he went so far as to dig a trench, all right? And this trench basically was designed to keep water around it and really keep anybody from accessing the sacrifice, so that there would be no doubt that this fire actually came from heaven and nobody snuck up around or set fire to it at all. So he gave a particular instruction to fill the water pots and to pour it on the altar. altar. Not just one time, not just two times, but three times. So there would be no doubt. And then in Elijah prayed and fire from heaven. You can just imagine what this would have been like. Man, fire from heaven fell, okay? And people fell on their faces and were restored. And that's ultimately what it's all about, is people's hearts being turned back to God. So what was it about Elijah? He lived a surrendered life, okay? The definition of surrender means this. It means to give up, to concede, all right? To give up my ways, okay? To yield. I use that term a lot. To yield. And it's just, it's basically giving God the right of way and full access to our hearts. So I give up my ways for His ways. I lay down my fears for faith. Quite an exchange, right? We give our fears to God and He imparts faith to our hearts. I think that's a pretty good exchange, you know. He takes our fear and He throws them into a sea of forgetfulness, all right? But then He imparts faith to us. Listen to this scripture, and we know this well. It's Romans 12. If you've been a Christian, maybe you've heard this. If you're not, listen to this. This is the Word of God. This is awesome. It says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, all right? This is God's mercy now, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. Hallelujah. Holy and pleasing to God. This is your true act of worship. Do not conform to the pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Man, let your mind be transformed. No longer take your cues from culture. No longer take your ways of doing things and just because everybody else is doing it. Just let your mind be transformed with God's word. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. And here's another scripture, and I love this because this is Jesus speaking now. And He says this, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it, and they will find it. Isn't that awesome? You know, those are the words of Jesus, and Jesus is encouraging us to completely surrender to Him, to give up my ways. Friends, if all you're living for is the things in this life, you know, listen, I understand. It's good to save. It's good to have money. It's good to have some nice things. I have a nice, I love my truck, you know. But you know what? If I have this truck or I have another truck, it really doesn't matter to me. The truth is that it's God's resource, and I need to yield it to Him and allow Him to use it for His kingdom. Amen? I hope you can receive that today, because there's so many things in this life that we can all get fall prey to and live for. But there's so much more if we will just yield our resources to the kingdom of God and allow Him to use them however he sees fit. Friend, you will never go without. I'm going to tell you right now, God will supply all your needs according to His riches and glory. So the last thing, surrender, or one of the last, I got two more things I want to say. Surrender is a lifelong journey. So for in Elijah's life, you know, he wasn't just a novice and all of a sudden he stepped up and he was center stage before the prophets of Baal. This was a lifelong journey of surrender that he had been living. He had been saying yes. He had been saying no at times. He had been saying yes and yes and yes. We only see the yeses. But I'm sure just like you and me, there are times we've said no to God and then we've done it our own way and then we had to learn and be brought back. That's all part of sanctification, becoming more and more like Jesus each and every day. When I was in college, I played football. I've told you this story, and I may have even used this example, but I was a freshman, and I came in, and there was a senior. I can't remember his name. I think his name is Bob. His name is Bob. I know that. Bob Barrett, I think, was his name. But the bottom line is this guy, you know, he was smaller than me, and I just thought I was going to own him, all right? But this guy had some, he had something I didn't have at that point. He had experience. So we were in this, the coach put us in this face-off, I guess, if you will, and we were just, you know, it was just kind of a one-on-one type of thing. And I just, man, I was just going to own this guy. I'm going to tell you right now, he owned me. I just absolutely got destroyed the first couple times. But as I learned and as I was coached and as I learned how to use, you know, leverage and my hips and all the things that you do as an offensive lineman, there was eventually a time that I was actually able to overcome and win that war, so to speak. But I'm going to tell you, it took time. And by the time I was a senior, man, there was a lot of things that were just ingrained in me and permanent. But see, I wasn't ready in that moment. It's just like Elijah. And sometimes there's a lot of people that want to be center stage, they want to be up there. But man, I'm going to tell you, you don't want to be a novice and then all of a sudden get into a battle with the prophets of Baal, okay? So that's why I encourage you to understand that surrender is a lifelong process. And the more you surrender and the quicker you surrender, the quicker you're going to learn and be able to do more and more for the kingdom of God. So don't be frustrated, but just live a surrendered life. And when called upon, man, God, he doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies those he calls, okay? So just be ready. Maybe you'll be a preacher like I am. Maybe you'll be a teacher. I don't know. Maybe you'll be a plumber. Maybe you'll be a banker, whatever it is where you're planted. So the other thing, and the last thing that I want to say is this. I want to say this. A surrendered life is a flexible life. You know, remember the example, the brook runs dry. A flexible life is God-centered, okay? A selfish life, you know, a godless life, or an inflexible life, I guess is really the way I want to put it, is a self-centered life. And a self-centered life is an offended life. Let me explain. When all I do is live for my wants, and all I do is live for my needs, and I only live for the things that are important to me, it's like I've created this little world that revolves around me. Now, this is ingrained in us from when we're born. You know, it's that sin nature that comes in. And life, again, it's a continual process of surrender. And even after we become Christians and surrender our lives to Jesus, it's surrendering our resources. It's surrendering my money. It's surrendering my time, my talents, all of those things to God. And because he can definitely direct them better than I can. If I am following his leadership and all of that, I will be blessed. And that's the promise of Scripture. But see, when it's all about me, myself, and I, and there's a violation to how I want to do things, and I'm inflexible, okay, I become offended. And what happens is, and the Scriptures teach this, is that there's nothing more unyielding, okay? We want to be yielded, but there's nothing more unyielding than an offended brother. And it's like a fortified city. And you know, Jericho was a fortified city. And that fortified city, man, was impenetrable. But when we yield, it's like we let those walls down and we let the Holy Spirit and we let God in and we let him direct our paths. And I will tell you, you will be amazed at how your relationships will improve, how you deal with work, how you deal with life, how you respond to COVID, how you respond to everything that is thrown at you. It goes so, so much better. And I just want to encourage you in that, because flexible people do great things for God. You know, that we've had a couple people in our congregation here that have had knee replacements recently. And if you talk to them, one of the things that they do in rehabilitation is they try to get that flexibility back into the joint. You know, as we age, as we get old, we become a little more inflexible. But one of the things that will keep you alive and moving is if you can keep your flexibility. And see, that's in the physical sense, but it also applies to us spiritually. If you want to stay alive and vibrant and moving with God, let's stay flexible. And that's another thing that we see about Elijah's life. So he lived a surrendered life, and the surrendered life that he lived was flexible, and it was a lifelong journey. So just know this. We see the things that happened on Mount Carmel. We see the destiny that he had, and we're going to look at a couple more in a few weeks here. But I do want you to realize that you may feel like I'm out of the game. You can get back into the game, and you can regain some flexibility, and you can continue to just yield and surrender and ask God to use you right where you're at. It doesn't matter what stage of life that you're at. And I would just want to encourage you to yield quickly. God is so good. I've learned some of my toughest lessons through, you know, my own unyielding spirit. But I've also, you know, through the years, I've had mentors, I've had coaches, I've had teachers, I've had pastors, and I've had both good and bad. And I've learned a lot from all of those different people. But the one thing that I've learned is that experience really can't be replaced. And I'd encourage you to gain as much experience as you can, gain as much from God's Word, gain as much from prayer, and just getting to know God better each and every day. Hey, I want to encourage you. I want to thank you for listening. I hope you did listen all the way through. But God bless you, and have a fantastic week in Jesus. And we'll look at a few more times we'll continue down this path looking at Elijah's life. But man, he was a surrendered man, and you and I can be too. But be encouraged. God loves you. Have a great, great week.